Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
I can't tell you how many times on a cold, I mean, 9 degrees this morning. I can't tell you how many times, Joel, a Colorado kid would come in here and really, probably for the first 2 hours of the show, wouldn't take off his gloves, wouldn't take off his winter cap.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Am I right, Joel? You hate the cold.
You're damn right I hate the cold.
That's what surprises me, Joel. I mean, you're a Colorado kid. You don't...
You know, I used to be one of those guys when I was playing at Colorado, like, I never wore sleeves.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I was like, you know, if I'm going to ask the offensive lineman to be tough, then I'm going to, you know, tough it out. I played in game. We played at Iowa State one time. It was 10 degrees, didn't have sleeves on. And I came to the realization a few years ago that there's two things that I'm just absolutely done with in my life. One, being cold. Two, being hurt. Like, I'm over it. Like, I don't need to deal with any more pain. And I hate being cold. Like, hate being cold. And Mike's right. I used to roll in there, and I'm not a morning person anyways, which I always thought was strange that I was on a morning drive show, and I would just sit there, and I wouldn't talk during the commercials, and I would keep my beanie on and my gloves on, and I would just pout during the commercials, which is why I was so crappy on the air.
Yeah, it was a hoot, Mark. It was a lot of fun.
What happens? You go to the broadcast booth now. Like you did Ohio State last week, but the windows are open. You know, it's getting to be that time of the year, and you got to have the windows open because you got to feel the crowd. You got to feel the presence of the game. It's cold in the booth. Like you bundled up in the booth.
Okay, so this is sad and whatever. You know, I mean, it is what it is. We actually have extra generators that we put up in the booth so that we don't blow a fuse. And then we have like four or five space heaters under the desk.
Uh-huh.
And then as soon as we're done on camera, it's like I'm coming off onto the sidelines and I put the big winter coat on and I put my gloves on and I'm a total sissy once the camera turns off. We have all sorts of space heaters and I've got coats on up there and everything. Because here's the thing, like, I'll start stammering if I'm cold. Like, I can't talk. And so, we have about five space heaters up there.
I could see it with Gus, too, because Gus weighs maybe a buck 20. Like,
he's a featherweight right now. He's a featherweight. Oh, and sometimes for the on cameras, he just looks at me and he's like, man, I'm old. I don't care if I've got a coat on. It is what it is. And I've been ruined by living here in Southern California. Like, I was just talking with Sarah, my beautiful wife, and we had like the window cracked last night and it got down to like 58. And we were like, whoa, it's a little chilly in here. Like, my goodness.
Oh, man.
And that's my favorite part about living here, not paying the taxes, obviously, or the traffic, but when cold is 58,
right,
good living, man.
Yeah, you are a diva, man. You are the Mariah Carey of broadcasters. That's for sure. I'll require this. I'll require that.
Red Skittles only. Red Skittles.
All right,
green bull crap. I want red.
All right, quarterback. All right, Bronco fan. I gotta ask you how you. What's your take on everything going on with the Broncos right now? Joe Flacco out. Brandon Allen in. What's going on with Drew Lock? All that stuff.
I'm so conflicted right now because, you know, I'm sure that some people listening saw, you know, my initial reaction on Twitter and I kind of blasted the Broncos because it seems very convenient, this injury, after Joe Flacco rightly criticized the horrendous play calling, I mean horrendous play calling, at the end of that game and during critical moments of that game. I feel his pain. You know, there's nothing worse as a quarterback than feeling like you're in a prize fight with one hand tied behind your back, which I think is what Flacco was feeling. And he voices it, and then all of a sudden, conveniently, he's injured. So two things that I think were going on here, or one of two things, I guess I should say. either Joe realized even before the press conference that he did that he wasn't going to be playing in the next few weeks, and he realized that he had this injury, and he was like, you know what, screw it, I probably am not going to be here anyways, I'm probably going to the IR, let's air the laundry. That's number one scenario. Number two scenario is he's not hurt as bad as the reports are suggesting, and he went out there, aired the dirty laundry, and the Broncos said, okay, hey, why don't you walk in here, hey, guess what, you've got a herniated disc. I probably believe the first scenario more than the second, but I have a hard time believing that he walked in there with some idea that he was still going to be the quarterback this week and then airing that dirty laundry. It seems like they knew beforehand that this was going to kind of end the relationship.
Yeah, and now you're sitting there with two backup quarterbacks. You got Brandon Allen and Drew Lock, who they're not ready to bring. And this is perplexing to me. They could have brought Drew Lock off of the IR 2 weeks ago and had him practicing, but they were still, quote unquote, and I'm using air quotes here and I'm using sarcastic voice, they were still thinking they were in it. I don't know what film they've been watching. Certainly not the same film that I've been watching, but, now you're sitting there with Brandon Allen. What do you know about this kid from, you know, he's never taken an NFL snap. Nobody on the roster has, at the quarterback position. So what do you know about him going in here?
No, well, I mean, he's got a lot of pro style, snaps in his background, from the college ranks. I think that bodes well. But if anyone believes that this is anything more than a stopgap, you know, I mean, I think that they'd be naive and lying to themselves. I don't think Brandon Allen's the plan for the future. I think this is a guy that happens to be there that is going to run out there and start a few games before they can potentially get Drew Lock on the field and see what they have. Because let's make no mistake about it now, they're going to be in the top 10, probably top 8 picks in the NFL draft, and they're going to have to make a decision about quarterback. That has to be made about Drew Lock at some point. So this start for Brandon Allen, as much as I'd love for him to succeed, and hopefully he does so that he can extend his NFL career somewhere as a backup somewhere in the league, I'm rooting for him. I really am. This is nothing more than a stopgap for Denver because their quarterback decisions are in the future. In the next few months, they're going to have to decide on Drew Lock and decide on what they're going to do in the NFL draft, because there's going to be a few different guys available at that selection. And let's just say they pick 6th, okay? And I think I'm being generous with 6. If they pick 6th, I think at most there's only 2 quarterbacks off the board, maybe just 1 at that point. And so you're going to have potentially the ability to choose between any number of Jacob Eason, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Jake Fromm, the kid at, where is it? Utah State, Jordan Love. There's a few guys, so they're going to have to make a decision.
In your opinion, who's the best of the bunch?
You know, I'm still so much in college mode that I lean towards Tua because of the team he plays on and the production that he puts up. I will tell you, I think that the dark horse in the draft next year, if he comes out, and I think that's a question, is Eason from Washington. I watched the tape. I'm doing Oregon this week, so I watched the tape of Oregon and Washington from last week. And in that game, Jacob Eason outplayed Justin Herbert. Now, I know you don't want to put too much stock in just one game, but even though Oregon won, I think Eason does some things. He shows the same physical gifts that Herbert does, and then he shows a bit better acumen as far as his progressions, anticipating throws, which I think is the most important quality. So I think a dark horse in all this, guys, would be the Washington quarterback, Jacob Eason.
Who is the quarterback out there in the league that has the most athletic ability, is big, tall, fast, can really throw it, but has no football acumen? Because that's usually the style that we go for.
Oh, jeez.
There's plenty of those. I mean, football is littered with those guys. I mean, they're all over the place.
Is Herbert one of those guys?
No, Herbert is I think he's a bona fide first rounder. I would evaluate him at least to this point as a guy that has better potential. I would evaluate him higher than a Josh Allen. came out from Wyoming and is now with Buffalo.
Okay. All right. I want to go quickly back to Drew Lock. The Broncos, what we're being told is that the Broncos just feel like Drew Lock is not ready. He hasn't had enough time to practice, and they just want to be very careful before they put him in there. Read between the lines there. Is that genuine concern for the kid? They believe he can be really good, and they just don't want to put him in until they're ready? Or does that tell you that maybe they're cooling on Drew Lock?
No, I think that that's self-preservation mode, Mike. I think if there's any question about what he is ready for or is not ready for, remember that's his play is not an indictment just of him, but it's also an indictment of them and their evaluation, right? So it, to some degree, not playing him is also protecting themselves. You always have to remember that, in particular with the heat that they've been getting from a front office standpoint and the misses and evaluations that they have had, in particular at that position. So the last thing that they can do, you could say, I don't want to say last nail, because who knows? I think John might have a longer leash than people in Denver realize. But in particular with kind of the questions that are going on above John, right, with the organization, how it's going to be structured and what's going on moving forward with the ownership group, so on and so forth. All of those things matter, right? But the last thing that John wants is to throw a guy out there that is a direct indictment of him. And if he doesn't think he's ready, then he's not going to put him out there. So while it can be true that it's an evaluation of Locke himself, it's also somewhat of a tip or a hat tip that maybe we're not as confident as we feel we should be, and we don't want that type of pressure on ourselves.
So isn't that exactly, I mean, that just lines up with the criticism that I've had this entire time. You're fooling yourself. As an organization, you're fooling yourself if you think that you're competitive right now or you're close to being competitive. And
yeah, I don't understand the rhetoric about the competitiveness, Mark, right? Like, do they think people believe them? Right? Like,
right.
Let's just put it this way. If you're evaluating the team and supposed to be building the team and you believe this is competitive, that's a problem. I would almost rather you say, yeah, you're like, we're rebuilding right now. I think Dolphins fans, although few and far between, have a better understanding of like, hey, yeah, you know, I mean, this year kind of is what it is. Rather than, you know, getting chicken salad and being told it's a filet. And it's like, no, it's not a filet. Like, don't tell me that this is competitive, because if you believe this is competitive, if you believe that this is on the tracks to competitiveness, there's a problem.
Well, they'll say three games lost at the end on field goals. We're that close. Play here, play there. You know, we get Trubisky down on 4th and 15, we win. Vaughn wraps up Jacoby Brissett, we win. That's why some people would buy into the idea that they are competitive.
But that's the NFL. This is not college football, where when you're close, you're close. Right? Like, every game is a one-score game. Every game. So you are what your record suggests you are. Period. I just don't. You think you're close with this quarterback position? It's the most important position on the field. If you're not going to have superior quarterback play, your roster has got to be as good of a roster as there is in an NFL organization in the last decade to be competitive for a Super Bowl. This roster is not even close. This offensive line is a bottom 10 offensive line in the league. If you have a bottom 10 offensive line in the league, you are not competitive. I don't care if it's a field goal. I don't care if it's a muffed punt. I don't, like, sorry, you're going to continue to be in those situations. And by the way, you lose those games. So I don't quite understand that. Like, this is the NFL. This is not horseshoes and hand grenades. Right. Close doesn't cut it.
And this is not college football, where Joel can do a game where one team has, from a talent standpoint, I mean, you can just go out and you don't have to out-scheme anybody. You can out-talent people. And,
That's right.
And there's a huge difference college football wise to the National Football League where everybody has a lot of talent. Then it becomes, you know, then it becomes, how do you scheme people and then how do you protect your weaknesses? And if you've got a weakness at the quarterback position, you damn well better have a strong group up front that understands protection and a coaching staff. More importantly, Joel, a coaching staff that understands protection.
Well, not only that, but like if you watch Denver and you watch their games, I think a couple of things are pretty clear. It is an average to below average roster with bottom five QB play, bottom 10 O-line play, and then the overall game plan and coaching, if you were just to rank the coaching, it would be somewhere in the 23, 22. Like, there's more elements of the Denver Broncos that are in the bottom 10 of the league that are in the top 10 in the league. What, if any, other than, well, let's say Von Miller, right? Von Miller, period. Maybe the defense would get you, you know, top 12 in the league, if you will. I think that the defense is pretty good. I think that they're fast. I think that Von Miller has got to get Brissett on the ground. When you're the best player on the team and you've got the quarterback dead to rights, that's the game. Like, you've got to get him on the ground. And so I'd give them the defense as the top 10 in the league. What other element of this organization is top 10 in the league?
Before we go, Joel Klatt presented by Audi Flatirons, I understand that you saw the video that DeHuff and I did as I was trying to find out, get to the bottom of who took our tasty cakes.
And, listen, I could have told you. I know you just hired Tyler Palumbis. That's all I needed to hear. You know it's Palumbis.
Well, he admitted to it.
He did?
Yes, it was Palumbis.
Palumbis speak.
But Joel, as somebody who understands my affinity for Twinkies, you could probably understand the anger that I was feeling about the tasty cakes being taken.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't. The only thing that would make you even more mad than that is if those Twinkies were a year old or more, because
Palumbis must have the metabolism really of a hummingbird. As big and skinny as he is, and he can just eat tasty cakes all day long.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I totally agree with you. I don't know what he's doing. Does he have a Peloton bike? Does he just ride it for two straight hours a day or something like that?
I don't know.
Is he sitting on there? Is he one of those people in the commercials that has like their $1,600 Peloton bike on some sort of like birchwood platform overlooking his garden or something like that? He's just riding it for 2 hours.
Yeah.
He's like, playing for a tie. Got to eat some tasty cakes today. Playing for a tie. And listen, I think it's easy to blame D-Mac, but let's take it easy on D-Mac. He's clearly, you know, dealing with some things.
Issues. Yeah. Thank you, Joel.
All right. Thank you, Joel.
But yeah. No problem, guys. I haven't gotten any tasty cakes. So.
Who you got this week?
Oregon at Utah, USC, excuse me. So I'll be watching Herbert live. I'm evaluating him all week. I'll tell you more about him next week.
All right. Can't wait. Nice. We'll get you some tasty cakes, okay?
Yeah. Come on. Yeah, I can't have a tasty cake or something?
We'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. Thank you, Joel.
Later, bud.
See ya. Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.